Okay, this is Tiffany Liao. I'm reading from page 91 to 94 from Caramella by Sandra Cisneros with a few text cuts for time. Once in the land of Los Nopales, before all the dogs were named after Woodrow Wilson, during that epoch when people still danced el chotis, el cancan, and el vals to a violin, violoncello, and salterio, at the nose of a hill where a goddess appeared to an Indian, in that city founded when a serpent-devouring eagle perched on a cactus, beyond the twin volcanoes that were once prince and princess, under the sky and on the earth lived the woman Soledad and the man Narciso. The woman Soledad is my awful grandmother, the man Narciso, my little grandfather. But as we begin the story, they are simply themselves. They haven't bought the house on Destiny Street number 12 yet, nor have their sons been born and moved up north to that horrible country with its barbarian ways. Later, after my grandfather dies, my grandmother will come up north to live with us until she suffers a terrible seizure that freezes her. Then she's left without words, except to stick the tip of her tongue between thin lips and sputter a frothy sentence of spit. So much left unsaid. But this story is from the time of before, before my awful grandmother became awful, before she became my father's mother. Once she had been a young woman who men looked at and women listened to, and before that she had been a girl. Is there anyone alive who remembers the awful grandmother when she was a child? Is there anyone left in the world who once heard her call out, Mama? It was such a long, long time ago. Que exagerada eres, it wasn't that long ago. I have to exaggerate, it's just for the sake of the story. I need details, you never tell me anything. And if I told you everything, what would be there for you to do, eh? I told you just enough, but not too much. Well, let me go on with the story then. And who's stopping you? Soledad Reyes was a girl of good family, albeit humble, the daughter of famed reposeros from Santa Maria del Rio, San Luis Potosí, where the finest shawls in all the Republic come from, rebozos so light and thin they can be pulled through a wedding ring. Her father, my great-grandfather Ambrosio Reyes, was a man who stank like a shipyard and whose fingernails were permanently stained blue. Ever in the world agreed Ambrosio Reyes' black shawls were the most exquisite anyone had ever seen, as black as Coyotepec pottery, as black as huilacoche, the corn mushroom, as true black as an olla of fresh-cooked black beans. But it was his wife Guillermina's fingers that gave the shawls their high value because of the fringe knotted into elaborate designs. The art of las amputadoras is so old, no one remembers where it arrived, whether it arrived from the east, from the macrame of Arabia through Spain, or from the west, from the blue sky bay of Acapulco, where galleons bobbed, weighted down with the fine porcelain, lacquerware, and expensive silk of Manila and China. Perhaps, as is often the case with things Mexican, it came from neither and both. Guillermina's signature design, with its intricate knots looped into interlocking figure eights, took 146 hours to complete. But if you asked her how she did it, she'd say, "How should I know? It's my hands that know, not my head." Guillermina's mother had taught her the amputadora's art of counting and dividing the silk strands, of braiding and knotting them into fastidious rosettes, arcs, stars, diamonds, names, dates, and even dedications. And before her, her mother taught her as her own mother had learned it. So it was as if all the mothers and daughters were at work, all one thread, interlocking and double looping, each woman learning from the woman before, but adding a flourish that became her signature, then passing it on. Not like that, daughter, like this. It's just like braiding hair. Did you wash your hands? See this little spider design here? Pay attention. The widow Apodia will tell you different, but it was I who invented that. Hortensia, that shawl you sold the day before yesterday. Policarpa gnawed the fridge, am I right? You can always tell Policarpa's work. It looks like she made it with her feet. Puro cuento, what a mito terra you are, Guillermina. You know I did that myself. You like weaving stories just to make trouble. It is only right, then, that she should have been a knotter of fringe as well, but when Soledad was still too little to braid her own hair, her mother died and left her without the language of knots and rosettes, of silk and articella, of cotton and acot-dyed secrets. There was no mother to take her hands and pass them over a dry snakeskin so her fingers remember the patterns of diamonds. When Guillermina departed from this world into that, she left behind an unfinished rebozo, the design so complex no other woman was able to finish it without undoing the threads and starting over. Compadrito, I'm sorry, I tried, but I can't. Just to undo a few inches would nearly cost me my eyesight. Leave it like that, Ambrosio said, unfinished like her life. Even with half its fringe hanging unbraided like mermaid's hair, it was an exquisite rebozo of five tiras, the cloth a beautiful blend of toffee, licorice, and vanilla stripes flecked with black and white, which is why they call its design a caramello. The shawl was slippery soft, of excellent quality and weight, with astonishing fringe work resembling a cascade of fireworks on a field of sunflowers, but completely unsellable because of the unfinished rapacejo. Eventually it was forgotten, and Soledad was allowed to claim it as a plaything.